Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. It's a great Friday here. Lots of betting action going on this weekend. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Serga Studio at the South Point Sportsbook. We have Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, in for Matt Eumanns, and Wes Reynolds, of course, also here. We have more NFL draft props to look at. I feel like it's like when you order from Amazon, it's like you get a new package every single day. It's like every day I wake up, there's a new NFL draft prop we can look at. Today, I found player to be drafted first. It's a head-to-head, a showdown between Devonta Smith and Jaylen Waddle, both sides at minus 112. JVT, what do you think?
So this is really tough because I feel like both offer something a little different that you can kind of throw. It depends on the personal evaluation of a team for the most part, right? So I didn't actually have a preference between the two. I would say that in a lot of the research evaluation of the guys that I have taken in here, it does seem that Devonta Smith does, Danielle, have a small edge over Jaylen Waddle in terms of being the first guy taken. I think I've seen Waddle as low as about 16 or so to the Arizona Cardinals. I would lean here a little bit towards Devonta Smith. I do think he's got a slight edge over Waddle, but I also think they provide things a little bit differently than the other does, and that makes it a little tough when you're talking about evaluating them and who would go first.
Yeah, this wouldn't be one I would bet. I think consensus is saying Devonta Smith is going to go first. Of course, we know Waddle had the injury last year in the Tennessee game, which basically cost him the rest of the season. So just on logic, you would say Smith, but the fact that it's pretty much even split here, even straddle here at 112, this is one I'd stay away from.
I would say that I wouldn't be surprised, Danielle, if by the time we get closer to the draft, that Devonta Smith goes off as like the favorite, like in like a $120, $130 range.
Yeah, I mean, he does have the Heisman to back him up. Let's talk about another Alabama player on here. I know we talked about how many Alabama players will go in the first round earlier, but even more Alabama action here. Najee Harris draft position, right? So I've seen this number move. I believe it was at 28.5. Now 30.5 is the number, over minus 112, under also minus 112. So Wes, what do you think about this? Najee Harris's draft position, over or under 30.5?
Yeah, I lean a little bit to the over, and we talked about that a little bit in the middle segment of the first hour, of the fact that you have a lot of teams that I think in that second round, it just seems to me like that's going to be the big story. Najee Harris, the day two story of when he's going to go, and he probably goes off in the first few picks because he and Travis Etienne, I think, are kind of the consensus top two running backs, at least what I've seen in the mocks and a lot of the position power rating type stuff. But I could just see in the second round, you will have these clubs that might want to get a running back. I think the New York Jets at 34 could very well grab him if he's still available. So I don't see Harris. I think he might slip out of that first round a little bit. 30.5, there's 32 picks in the first round. I don't think clubs are going to trade up for a running back. They're going to be like, okay, if he goes, then we'll try to take ATN here in the second round.
Yeah, I think I rate Etienne as the better running back. Like, I think I'd just rather have him. I think the comps of Alvin Kamara, Danielle, are really accurate. And I would think that teams that are at the back end of that first round would value a running back with the skill set, the speed of a Travis Etienne, as opposed to a Najee Harris. I think sometimes we kind of get wrapped up in, hey, Alabama running back, got to be really good, right? And then initially you kind of get this, well, actually, maybe there's some guys that are better than him, and I think Etienne is that. So I think I'd rather go under here because I think Etienne would be the first round guy. Or over, sorry. I always get that mixed up. Over.
I mean, there's a lot of different offensive player props here, right? Yeah. So let's move on to defensive here. First defensive player, Patrick Surtain the second, plus 120, the favorite here. Micah Parsons, 2-1. Quiddy Pay, 4-1. And J.C. Horn, 7-1. So who do you think is going to be the first defensive player off the board?
This one is pretty tough. Now, if you look at the way the board breaks, I would think that it's probably going to be Patrick Surtain at this point. I mean, like Micah Parsons, we were talking about right in the first hour, Wes, has some of the off-field stuff that has been brought up again, most recently coming to 2020, the lawsuit he was named in the hazing. I think Surtain right now grades out as one of the better, if not the best defensive players, more well-rounded. And I think when you look at the way the board breaks, there's a chance that Denver, if Trey Lance isn't there, goes with like a Micah Parsons type. But we could go all the way to like 10 potentially and get our first defensive player there. And the Dallas Cowboys at 10 really need, I think, another corner.
It seems like like Surtain is almost slotted to Dallas right now at number 10. They could, of course, go with Horn from South Carolina, but I think that they like Surtain. They like his size. Obviously, his father played for the Miami Dolphins, Pat Sr. So, look, he was tested by teams, but he's a potential shutdown corner, so I would see him at least going to Dallas, and then the Parsons is really the wild card in the early part of the draft.
All right, stick with us. Coming up, we have some NBA talk right here on My Guys in the Desert. Welcome back in to My Guys in the Desert. We've kicked off hour two here. I'm Danielle Avari at the VSiN Circa Studio at the South Point Sportsbook Studio. Today we have Jonathan Von Tobel, JVT, in for Matt Eumanns, and of course Wes Reynolds also joining us. And coming up in a few short minutes, we're going to have Aaron Ritting here to talk all things NBA. JVT.
Danielle, thank you very much. Yeah, ER with us as we discuss everything in the NBA. Very deep card today. A lot of games with some implications as well. Let's get right to it. Aaron, good enough to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time. So let's just start, I think, with one. I know you have some action on this game. The other is it's the news that Kawhi Leonard has been ruled out at this point right now for the Los Angeles Clippers. Philadelphia 76ers now up to a 5.5-point favorite. Totals down to 218. Paul George also questionable. So from a side perspective, ER, if he's ruled out, this number is going to continue to climb. Your analysis here specifically on the total as well, as we have seen this drop about five. Actually, we've seen it drop about almost 7.5 points.
Yeah, certainly intriguing. Thanks for having me, guys. Intriguing matchup. It's certainly set up that way. Clippers in Philadelphia. Of course, Doc Rivers going against his former team wasn't the cleanest exit for him with the way they got knocked out in the playoffs last year. But, yeah, I mean, it was kind of a tricky game to bet. All day, once again, how this kind of goes down. But it still sounds like Tobias Harris is not going to play. As you mentioned, Kawhi Leonard not available. Paul George, we still don't know, an hour from tip-off. So, yeah, once again, an NBA game that can be hard to bet if you're really into the personnel. Fortunately, I took a pretty good lead. I did bet this game under the total this morning and liked it that way. I think... you know, not much has really been said about how good this Philadelphia defense has been. I mean, they were surprising how good they were when Joel Embiid was hurt, a little bit like the Lakers have been able to hang on defensively, but this Philadelphia team was very similar, and you watched them play. There was nothing fluky about that. Very long, very plus defenders on this team. A guy like Thibault comes in, one of the premier defenders in the NBA. Now you get Joel Embiid back, which should strengthen that unit all that much more here. I think Tobias Harris certainly hurts this team from an offensive standpoint. Meanwhile, with the Clippers, JVT, you and I have talked about this team from a defensive perspective at length. Yep. I think they probably are up against it a little bit with that inside resistance against Joel Embiid tonight. But with that said, I think Philadelphia is certainly happy to play through the post. That's going to be their clear advantage in this contest tonight, which would make the possessions a little bit slower for Philadelphia. And the Clippers still capable, defensively with their mind to it. Losing Kawhi Leonard hurts from a defensive perspective, but it really hurts them more from an offensive deal more than anything. So the Clippers should be certainly easier to defend without Kawhi. So I think certainly some things still point to this game going under the total.
ER, really quickly, I was surprised looking at a couple of spots when it came to the pecking order of the Eastern Conference from a power rating perspective, from a futures perspective, that there's actually a couple of shops that have Philly as the third choice in the Eastern Conference behind Brooklyn and Milwaukee. I personally think that this team's the second best team in the Eastern Conference. Where do you stand on Philadelphia as they have kind of, I think over the last few months, you kind of alluded to it, right, really flexed their muscles defensively? They led the league in defensive efficiency in the 10 games without Joel Embiid. I like this team quite a bit. Behind Milwaukee, though, in terms of likely to win the Eastern Conference has me shaking my head a little bit, or scratching my head, I should put it that way, when it comes to some of these operators. How do you evaluate those the dynamic between Milwaukee and Philly?
Very well put. I mean, I think it's just one of the cases, JVT, when a team like Philadelphia really hasn't done anything with this basically Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid tandem, if you will, that they're just not taken seriously. And, you know, generally the better teams, the best players win out. So Brooklyn is going to be there. But, you know, you and I have certainly talked about it, that I think that you try to make a case to bet against this Brooklyn team, which would lead you to really only a couple teams right now in the Eastern Conference, maybe three, maybe four. But Philadelphia has to be, you know, somewhat the clear second runner. I still don't discount what Milwaukee, the back class of what this team is going to be there. But, you know, Philadelphia, the best defensive team. They've shown it. Joel Embiid playing as the best player in the NBA at times this year. MVP caliber, a guy that can simply dominate a series. You know, after that, Doc Rivers in a playoff series to get to maybe an NBA Finals. We'll see how that would play out. But, yeah, you have to take this team seriously.
ER, Grizz and the Bulls going to match up for the second time in a week. The Grizz got the win on Monday, 101-90, and now a road favorite. Of course, Zach LaVine is in quarantine right now, so he's expected to miss a few games. Bulls were scoring very well with him on the floor, 114.6 per 100 possessions, and now just 105.7 with him off the floor in these games. So, look, Bulls, obviously they made those deals trying to get into the back end of the playoffs this year. Memphis still right at around 500, trying to do their thing, just one game above. You like the side better or the total tonight with Memphis and Chicago?
Well, I tell you what, I'm really intrigued with this matchup, Wes. And, you know, it really kind of comes down to how you feel about Zach LaVine here, because, you could always argue about his value to a basketball team. Simply, LaVine has never been on any kind of a winning team here from an NBA standpoint. Right now, the leader, the all-star for the Chicago Bulls team. But, you know, here they are once again disappointing, 22-32 straight up on the season. And quite simply, guys, there's probably a handful of guys in the NBA. For me, Kyrie Irving's kind of the poster guy for that. Is in a lot of times when that player is out, the team will actually get better, but they're valued in the marketplace, maybe 2 to 3 points. And those are simply the best bets that you will find in the NBA from a side perspective. And I'm not going to say that is the case here with the Bulls and LaVine, but I think it might be the case with the Bulls and LaVine. Again, he generally gives back defensively everything that he can give you offensively, and that's the big thing with LaVine, because you know, you watch this Bulls team play and he's been much more efficient from an offensive perspective this year than he has been in years past. He's been a shot maker this year, but it's gone a little bit by the wayside over the last month with LaVine on the court. But I think, you know, they have some good veterans in the backcourt here for the Bulls. They played better when they've had these veterans on the basketball court. They will play certainly through Vukovic at the center position at this point. So I'm at least holding out that, yeah. You know, you talk about the spread where this one was on Monday. Now Memphis favored by 4 points here on the road. So interesting to see how that plays out. But I think the Bulls certainly, like I say, a little slower pace, a little bit harder time scoring here. I played this one game. I played this under the total on Monday. I think I played under 229, something like that, just a dead under. I got to go back to the well here without LaVine. Certainly a shorter total, but I think this is another low-scoring game.
Yep. ER with us, Aaron Renning, Points Per Weekly contributor, ER Sports 1 up on Twitter. ER makes a great point, too. At the beginning of the year, ER, one of the guys that was on that list of market respects him way more than they probably should was Russell Westbrook for Washington. You know, there were times at the beginning of the year where the Wizards were getting outscored by like 10 points every 100 possessions with Westbrook on the floor, and that got up to like, you know, like a positive 2 with him off, but he would get ruled out and the line would move like 2 or 3 points. Now, he's gotten a lot better, but it is a good observation to keep track of those kind of players. Let me go to another game, and I think you and I are on the same side here, Pelicans and Wizards. How do you match up? How do you talk about this from an analysis standpoint? Because to keep it pretty simple, to give you the floor, ER, Wizards have a tough time with some pretty good interior presences. The Pelicans will just pepper you with paint shots. I find it hard to see in this matchup a way for them to stop Zion Williamson and company, and the Pelicans are getting healthy. It looks like they're going to get Lonzo Ball back on the court.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about the Pelicans to come away with a victory and cover the spread in this game. I think this is a very tricky spot for the Wizards. Obviously, they went to Florida, played at Toronto, at Orlando. Then they go out west, Golden State, Phoenix, Utah, Sacramento. And, you know, beating Utah, beating Golden State, certainly good for their resume, better than maybe what you could have saw early on in the campaign. However, you know, beating Sacramento at this point, I don't think that's very much big of a deal. Obviously, beating Orlando as well, got blown out in that game by Phoenix. So this team still has their issues. They're going to be missing Davis Bertans tonight. Certainly hurts them from an offensive perspective, what he can give you off that bench. And that was probably my biggest concern here, JVT, was the Pelicans bench, because they are shorthanded. They haven't shot well here of late, but they get Lonzo Bell back, Lonzo Ball back for this game. Certainly it will help strengthen the depth for this team. And you're right. You know, you have your point forward, point whatever you want to call it here with Zion. You know, how in the world are a Wizards team with no kind of inside resistance going to be able to stop this team? So they have a hard time shooting three-pointers, but they should be able to get plenty of easy shots here at the basket, which you can't say really the same here for the Wizards. Obviously, when you talk about Westbrook, his ability to get to the basket, but with Adams, some of the other guys to protect the rim here for the Pelicans, that should be a plus matchup for them here as well. So tough spot for the Wizards. I think the Pelicans are still the better team. Got a good bet on them here tonight.
ER, as we look at the Pelicans really quickly going forward, one of the things that intrigued me a couple of weeks back was the Pelicans to make the postseason. Right now, they're two games behind San Antonio for that final play-in spot. Spurs have the second hardest schedule left, but they got derailed by injuries. You know, they went through that 4-1 stretch, looked like they were turning things around New Orleans. Then everybody's out of the lineup. They go 1-4. They had won three straight before they lose their last game. Over these last, 19 games or so for the New Orleans Pelicans, what do you think the future holds for them in terms of pushing for potentially one of those play-in games?
A question for you. So to make the playoffs, is that they have to win would be a potential play-in game?
Yeah, they would have to be one of the final eight seeds. I obviously, rules alter by each operator, but every single one that I have read, it has to be you have to win the play-in game, be one of the final eight seeds.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah, it would be how that would play out. Certainly, I think they could pass the Spurs, two games in back of the Spurs, to get into a shot here for the play-in. And yeah, once you get in there, you have a chance. I think it would be going to be hard to pass Golden State and Memphis at this point to improve perhaps their seeding. But yeah, if they can get there, maybe get a little bit more healthier. You know, the Pelicans have kind of disappointed me all season long. You know, I always worry the game, current NBA game is kind of currently past Stan Van Gundy, et cetera. You know, how this team is defended. They just haven't been plus from that standpoint. But obviously, from a talent perspective, the chance to still improve, the Pelicans obviously have a shot. It's just about as any of those other teams, whether you're talking San Antonio, Golden State, or Memphis.
And speaking of a team that's defended well most of the season, that being the New York Knicks, take to the road to face Dallas. These two teams met a couple weeks ago where Dallas, I think, closed as a 5-point favorite in the Garden, won 99-86. Knicks have put up good defensive numbers. You would expect that under Tom Thibodeau, but they're going against a rocket of an offense right now in the Dallas Mavericks, who were just 13 of 40 from three the other night against Memphis when Luka hit that miraculous buzzer beater, but they still put up an O rating of 119.7. Where are you looking, if anywhere, with Knicks Mavericks tonight, ER?
You know what? I did not bet this game. I bet the Knicks quite often, and I bet them a couple times so far this week. I bet them against New Orleans the other night. I bet them against the Lakers, Monday or Tuesday. I bet this team quite often because they still seem to be underrated in the marketplace. As you mentioned, the New York Knicks, one of the better defensive teams in the NBA. I think a lot of people expect their three-point defense to drop off. It really hasn't. I mean, they're probably mid-pack in the NBA over the last month, but it hasn't, fallen off the cliff for this team. So, and with that said, you know, they've been a little bit more efficient offensively. Their defensive rating, even though they're allowing three-point percentage a little bit higher, is still been, you know, premier in the NBA. Kind of the problem here, why I did not bet them, and still, I mean, you're getting a handful of points with a very hard-trying New York Knicks team that's all out, remember, to win any kind of regular season game under Thibodeau, for the Knicks here. I like this Dallas team, and right now, on a three-game against the spread losing streak, they did obviously pull out that game with Doncic the other night, but two bet-on teams here for me. From a totals perspective, I wonder if Dallas and their offensive efficiency, which has certainly lagged from where they were last season, if they kind of get a little bit better. We know both Porzingis and Doncic were off the low, slow starts. They had J.J. Redick really off the bench the other night against Memphis. It was really all offense, not a lot of defense for this team. So really torn. Two bet-on teams. Have one team that I've kind of leaned maybe under with the Knicks. And maybe over with Dallas. So certainly two teams that I enjoy to watch, but I don't think I'll have a bet here tonight.
You can follow him on Twitter at ERSports1. His name is Aaron Renning. Nice enough to give us some time today. ER, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. Have a good weekend, all right?
All right, great to be on with you guys. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Take care, ER.
ERSports1 up on Twitter. Yeah, really deep card. I didn't have a lot. Only the Pelicans game was the one I had on. You know, I am interested to watch one of the teams that I watch a lot of and do have a futures ticket on to win the Eastern Conference. And after I bet on them to win the Eastern Conference, they won 11 out of 12 games but have since been drekking on offense. That would be the Miami Heat tonight, who are a 6.5-point favorite on the road against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Consistently, Wes Reynolds, one of the best defensive teams in the league, but from an offensive standpoint, just cannot get their stuff together. Seems like a relatively high number given the status of their offensive at this point, but it is the Minnesota Timberwolves. All right, we'll come back when we have a lot left over in the next 35 minutes or so. We will get one more update at the RBC, see what's going down there. We have our AFC North win totals, clean up the Major League Baseball board. Don't go anywhere on My Guys in the Desert here on VSiN.
Welcome back in. I'm Danielle Avari. Don't wait days for your winnings. Cash out instantly with BetRivers' new feature, Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options out there. As always, get a $250 match bonus, the fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Offer valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem in Illinois, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Colorado, 1-800-522-4700. In Michigan, 1-800-270-7117. In Virginia, 1-888-532-3500. Not valid in Iowa. This is the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with JVT and Wes Reynolds.
Appreciate it, Danielle. So we do have some news, Major League Baseball and NBA. First off, Paul George looks like he's out there getting some shots up west about 30 minutes before tip time between the Los Angeles. We'll do 40 minutes. 40 minutes before tip time between the Philadelphia 76ers and the Los Angeles Clippers. No Kawhi Leonard today, so Paul George's presence would be very much needed for the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, Sixers currently laying 6 over the L.A. Clippers. ER mentioned he got a good number on that total, by the way, 218, pretty much market consensus on that total.
We should also note, we'll have more details on the game, but we were discussing, and actually we already got done with the American League, so we should note this. Starting lineup is up for the Anaheim Angels. I call them the Anaheim Angels. I get it. They're the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Regardless.
Good. Stick with your guns.
Fight me. Let's go.
Yes. I want to go back to the California Angels.
Oh, those are
when
good.
Reggie Jackson was in the Naked Gun saying, "I must kill the queen."
That's, yeah, good reference. I actually understand that reference. Starting lineup for the Anaheim Angels today, Trout batting third, and Upton right behind him, batting fourth. So Upton is back in the lineup for the Anaheim Angels today. Much needed as, again, cluster injuries kind of affecting this team relatively early in the season on a two-game losing streak. So we'll see if they can snap that, take the first one from the Minnesota Twins in this series. Angels, $1.21 favorite right now with a pregame total of 9, shaded to the under at -115. All right, Wes Reynolds, as we look at what is happening at the RBC Heritage, we updated the leaderboard early. My question for you, as we round into the end of this one, is as you go into the weekend, from a statistical standpoint, your evaluation standpoint, what are you looking at in terms of quality of golfers that you think can make their way back up the leaderboard and are worth their play on these adjusted odds?
Yeah, and I was looking at these adjusted odds. I just happen to have DraftKings in front of me. Players with the five or more shot lead through 36 holes the last 15 years on the PGA Tour, 14 and 21 for making that conversion on Sunday with the win. So that's about 66%. And to that point, Stewart Cink at DraftKings.
Now, I was going to say Stewart Cink then would fall right into that category.
Yes, he is plus 138, five shot lead over Corey Connors, who currently sits at 11-2. Colin Morikawa 7-1. I believe he is 9 under par as I try to clear out this screen here. Colin Morikawa, Emiliano Grillo got to 11 under par, I believe, as well. So
he ended up finishing 10 under.
Is he 10? Okay, yep. Okay. My
shot
leaderboard was blocked
here.
Out
here. And then I got Horschel, Sung J.M., Cameron Smith, and Colin Morikawa. Yep,
okay, there we go. We got that. That got that window removed. So Corey Connors 11-2. Colin Morikawa 7-1. He is 7 shots back, along with Sung J.M., who made a little move today. He is 12-1. Cameron Smith off that stellar putting performance yesterday, and also in scrambling, stayed stagnant today, but he's 12-1. He is currently at 9 under par. Horschel, you mentioned, also in at 9 under, 16-1. And then you go down to the 8 under crews. Wesley Bryan, who has won this event before, had him here years ago. Tom Hoagie, Harold Varner III at 8 under. So look, I mean, you want to anticipate. I mean, I would not bet on Stewart Cink at this point, who did win this event all the way back in 2000, just because the putting and the tee to green, it's like that's got to regress here at this standpoint. So I wouldn't bet him at 138. But like I said, he is a good bet to go ahead and carry on. 66% over the last 15 years for players who have had five or more shot leads. So if I'm looking here, I'm looking obviously at the approach game, maybe looking to fade the guys that really gained a lot in terms of putting, because that's going to kind of go back and forth a little bit. And we'll also see if the wind's going to blow this weekend. That could be the great equalizer. It has not. Webb Simpson, 22 under par last June, is the all-time tournament record, and we're already at 16 under par through 36.
All right, we're not done with this. When we come back, I have one more question for you about this golf tournament as we look ahead to the weekend. We also have our NFL win totals that are kind of going division by division throughout the week, and when Humans comes back, he'll analyze them very, very much after he returns from a solid golf outing over in Hawaii. Much deserved rest for one Matt Humans. A lot of National Football League, more Major League Baseball on the other side. We'll clean up the National League slate because there's quite a few games in the evening. One game in the books. We can give that to you in a little bit as the Chicago Cubs fall once again to the Atlanta Braves in that contest. It's My Guys of the Desert here on VSiN.
In. I'm Danielle Avari. The spring sports betting action is in full swing, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball, NHL, and NBA playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members-only best bet emails, and in-depth coverage of every major event in Point Spread Weekly. Now is the time to sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial at VSiN.com/subscribe. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with JVT and Wes Reynolds.
Let's put a bow on a couple of things in the RBC heritage really quickly. Just actually one thing that I wanted to ask you, Wes. Weather sounds like you might get some rain there on Sunday. It looks like actually as high as like a 41% chance in the morning that you're going to get some sort of, as the scientists say, precipitation over at Hilton Head. How that alters anything, at least in terms of like a guy like Cink potentially coming back to the pack. It does seem like maybe it does get a little dicey for a couple of these guys. Again, wind is actually pretty calm. It looks like 7 miles an hour. So how does rain affect it when there's no wind?
Yeah, it'll just soften it up a little bit because now they have the traditional overseed this time of year where they overseed the greens a little bit and also the fairways. You really didn't have that last year, which I thought made for a little bit more low scoring. I did not expect your leader through 36 holes, though, to be 16 under par. So unless the wind blows, if the wind is relatively benign, I don't think it's going to affect the scoring that much because wind is really the primary defense here at Harbortown. So you're probably going to see that 22 under, I think, potentially get tested. It would have to be by sync, though. So scoring, I think this is going to tighten up. I don't think that this is going to be a runaway whatsoever with guys in pretty good form chasing him, including Corey Connors, Colin Morikawa, two very good ball strikers, two of the best on the PGA Tour. So this is not necessarily yet a runaway for Mr. Sink, but five-shot lead, 66% successful over the last 15 years.
So I have to be fully honest here. I might be a little angry at Wes Reynolds at this point right now, because you piqued my interest during the break. Jake Paul is a $1.65 favorite over Ben Askren in this fight that they have coming up on Saturday. Am I really going to bet and watch on this thing?
The Triller Fight Club here in Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz Arena. Not just Jake Paul and Ben Askren, but also Frank Mir going to be in a boxing match against Steve Cunningham. Yeah, yeah. By the way, at Westgate Superbook here in Las Vegas, Steve Cunningham minus 2,000, Frank Mir at plus 1,000.
Now you're getting some value over at Circa, minus 1,600 on Cunningham.
Arbitrage. That's what you got to do in the Triller Fight Club. But yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how this is going to do. There is a big UFC show, at least with a really good main event here out here at the Apex in Las Vegas with Kelvin Gastelum and Robert Whittaker, but those are really the two big names on the main card. So look, these outside outlaw type boxing shows, the Roy Jones and Mike Tyson thing did actually very well a few months ago. So maybe this will here, but man, I can't believe I would almost want to lay it with Jake Paul against Ben Askren. I mean, Ben Askren can't take him down here. It's a boxing match. So if it was an MMA fight, I'd obviously want Askren. But do I really want to lay the wood with Jake Paul against a guy that's actually fought, albeit not boxing? Mm-hmm. But I might just watch it and sit on the sidelines and not bet and just be just entertained by the sport entertainment aspect of it all.
$1.65 on Paul, plus 145 coming back on Askren. And this is courtesy of Circus Sports, by the way. Round prop, 8-round fight, 5.5 shaded to the under at minus 125 between those two combatants, I guess we will call them. Man, I might actually do it. I might actually do it, Wes. That's why I'm irritated.
You gonna lay it on Jake Paul?
No, I might just watch. Like I swore up and down when this happened. I called anybody a fool. I was like, go ahead. They're just gonna take your money. This is gonna be a ridiculous fight, a ridiculous card between has-beens and YouTubers. And why would you spend money on it? You don't necessarily have to spend money on it. So maybe that's the route you go. Maybe. Okay. With that, we move on. It's a spectacle, though. And don't you love spectacles?
I do. I'm a fan of the fakes arts, if you will, or sports entertainment, even though this looks like it's going to be a real fight. Some extra entertainment, I'm sure, on this show. Some musical performances and the like.
All right. We'll move on there. As we look ahead to the NFL, we have win totals up at multiple shops now. We can find out again. Schedules aren't out. Schedules don't alter a lot. It alters a little bit, I think, in terms of the handicap and the juice a little bit. You know, three straight road games, East Coast, West Coast trips for like other teams, all of that stuff. So we have win totals up around the clock. Ravens, Browns, Steelers, Bengals. Let's take a look at the AFC North. Highest win total in the division, 11 over minus 125. These courtesy of DraftKings. Browns, 9.5, shaded to the over at $1.60. Steelers, 8.5, shaded to the over at $1.20. And then you get the Cincinnati Bengals, 6.5. That's a pick on both sides. We look at the opponents in a couple of, like, the one team I came into this season, Wes, looking to potentially play against, because I think they've been playing above their skis each of the last 2 years, have been the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, you talk about the 8-8 season where they have nobody at quarterback. They somehow finished, by the way, remember that year, they actually were 8-5 before they lost three consecutive games. You go back to last season where it's relatively clear that they were, and this is strong, but I think true, a fraudulent 11-0 they started the season? Mm-hmm. It all melts together. Regardless, a relatively weak team with the start that they had comparatively when you looked at some of their numbers. And now you look at what their opponents are going to look like in 2021 outside of their divisional opponents on both home and a road. You get the Buffalo Bills, you get the Denver Broncos, the Chicago Bears, NFC North opponents of the Lions and the Packers, AFC West opponents, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, like the NFC West opponent in the Seattle Seahawks, Tennessee Titans. These are a lot of games, Wes, where they're either going to be coin flip spots or potentially favored, but I think an overvalued favorite at that. The Steelers playing underneath this win total. I want to see where the market takes it, but I'd be looking to play against the Steelers coming into 2021 personal.
I am looking a little bit at the Baltimore Ravens on the under, even though I think the number is probably about right, and obviously it's tricky now that you have 17 games, but I don't know if they can get to 12 wins. And look, you're banking on if Lamar Jackson doesn't improve is really what's going to determine this total, because, look, they figured him out. They, I think, know what he's going to do. They're going to run the ball, and they're going to run the ball a lot. That formula clearly has not worked in the playoffs, but I do think you're going to see improvements. Obviously, the Browns are kind of the team on the rise. You see at 9.5, juice to the over at -160. So somebody agrees with that assessment. And then I got to think the Cincinnati Bengals, even though I'm not saying bet over their win total, but they're going to be improved. I don't think that they're going to be the total doormat necessarily here in the AFC North. You got to think that they're going to get at least a little bit better. So Ravens, for me, I'm kind of leaning to that under. It's down at 11. You are still getting plus money, at least. But this is a team that I think has good defense and good coaching. But is Lamar Jackson going to finally take that leap? And we did not see it last season at all.
11, shades to the over -125. You can get 11 under -115, or if you want to go over -105 over at William Hill, who posted some win totals today as well. As these pop up more and more too. Steelers 9 over at William Hill, shaded to the under at -125. So again, shop around. I like Steelers under. Instead of going under at even money, 8.5, I'll go under at -125 at that 9. All right, come back. Major League Baseball, last few games. Get those all done and over with as we send you off into the weekend here on My Guys in the Desert.
Into the OddsTrader.com studio at the South Point Casino. Make sure you check out OddsTrader.com and download the free OddsTrader app right now so you can start winning with the up-to-the-second info you need. Now back to My Guys in the Desert with JVT and Wes Reynolds.
Danielle, thank you very much. Been a fun week on the takeover. Appreciate all the help as always. We do have a little bit of news all around this place. Let's start in the NBA because we do actually have two big injury notes to get to. One just came down 5 seconds ago. The other came down a couple of minutes ago. First, update us, Clippers and 76ers, Wes Reynolds.
Yeah, starting to see as low as 4.5, including right here where we are at VSiN Mission Control at the South Point Hotel and Casino. Now down to 4.5 with Paul George given the okay to go tonight. This did get up to 6 where the Sixers were laying 6 to the L.A. Clippers. So looks like Marcus Morris Sr. is going to go ahead and play. Ibaka, Beverly, and Kawhi, of course, are out. George was listed as game time decision, but it looks like the market believes he's going to go. Line down to 4.5. Still some fives out there, though.
The other note that we should throw out there, the Portland Trail Blazers will be without Damian Lillard tonight. This comes down a couple of minutes ago, actually a couple of seconds ago. He was actually downgraded to questionable and then, of course, now downgraded to out. We have a flip of the favorites here. Portland, a 1.5-point favorite just a few moments ago. Now Spurs flashing as a 1.5-point favorite with a total of 231. Total was 232.5 before Portland rules out Lillard. So you can expect that to probably move a little bit more in San Antonio's direction. We will see with Portland now a little shorthanded without their star guard on the floor, Wes Reynolds. Also, during the break, before we get to Major League Baseball, I was kind of freaking out. Not really freaking out. Let me just put it this way. Go ahead. Take him at 3. There's a video out now of Mac Jones doing squats. Okay. Go ahead. That's all I'm going to say. Just retweeted it. Go ahead. Take it.
How many times what do you throw up at 225? How many reps, JBT? How many reps?
He looked very awkward when he's doing his squats. Just put it that way. I know I'm being facetious. I am teasing at this point right now. Obviously, 1,000 times the athlete that I will ever be in my life. But go ahead. I think George Shahori, friend of the network, who has come on multiple times, Pro Football Focus, actually tweeted out the video and said something along the lines of Jimmy G praying the 49ers take Mac Jones at 3.
So. Yeah, George Shahori is a Justin Fields defender. There haven't been many in the media until recently when the price changed. Now all of a sudden it's
we've been here.
Yes.
We've been here. you're allowed to come.
Yes.
You're allowed to get on the train. I know Ben. He's a very big Mac Jones guy. I like how I just assumed that. I'm just going to put that evil on you. All right. Major League Baseball, Wes Reynolds. Let's get to it. Last couple of games and last couple of minutes on the show for me before I'm ultimately kicked out. Let's start with Arizona and Washington. Work our way around from here. Max Scherzer going to be on the bump here for the Nats. I think we did see a little bit of a move here in favor of Arizona. Initial opening number, I haven't checked for about 20 minutes or so. Washington at 203 was one of the initial openers that I saw in this matchup. Now we're looking at about a $1.90 across the board with Scherzer taking on Widener in this one.
Yeah, Arizona, 11 runs last night, including a slam. Patrick Corbin, very rough start to the season, so... Bettors, I think, might have been thinking Washington's going to get right here, but Washington just now getting healthy. They just had, I think, Schwarber just returned, and they had another guy just return in the lineup because they were in quarantine, Josh Bell. So a little bit slow to get out of the gate so far are the Nats batch. Schwarber 222, Josh Bell just right at the even 200. So I think that's a big price for a team that hasn't really shown they could hit the ball just yet. Not endorsing Arizona. This is one I stayed out of.
I like it. All right, we'll move on then. St. Louis and Philadelphia. Let's take a look here as we get Zach Eflin on the hill opposing one, Carlos Martinez. Opening price here, Phil, is about $1.26 favorite. We have seen quite, I shouldn't say quite, but about a 16, 20-cent move in favor of Philadelphia. Opened 126, now sitting in the range of about $1, $1.43. Eflin has always been one of those guys, Wes, that I always like his stuff. I've always watched him pitch and always enjoyed watching him pitch, but is somewhat of a fickle guy, and you see it in his first two outings. First time around against the Braves, shuts him down, quiets it to 7 innings, 4 hits, just 1 earned run, courtesy of a solo shot and 8 strikeouts. But the second time around against that lineup at a second start, 6 innings, 4 earned runs, gives up a homer there, walks one, and strikes out only 2. So quite different performances in 2 outings, but against the same team. How does he match up here against the Cardinals? Market says relatively well because it's moved in that direction.
Yeah, about a 20-plus cent move here on the Philadelphia Phillies. And Carlos Martinez, just 2 starts so far, but he's only went 10 combined innings, whip at 140, ERA at 630. So you would expect a little bit of improvement if you evaluate the xFIP on Martinez, but he has not had his best stuff, really. The total is what's really gotten hit here. This was 9.5 in the overnights. Now at about 8, over minus $1.20, juice to that over. I didn't know really where to go with this, but I agree with you on Eflin's assessment. I think he doesn't really dazzle you, but he's got good stuff, and he's got very solid numbers. Whip at about 1 here. He's gone 13 innings and 2 starts, no decision. So don't disagree with the move here, but I think you're a little late if you're wanting to lay it with Philadelphia.
Yeah, wide variety of pitches for Eflin. Velocity is a little bit down this year, so we'll see if maybe that hampers him throughout the regular season. Let's move on then. Your boys, huh? Cleveland on the road against the Cincinnati Reds. Jeff Hoffman opposing one, Logan Allen. This one, we have actually seen quite a move too. Hoffman initially in the Reds about -107, essentially a pick. Now we're looking, I think, in the range of $1.20 on your Reds. No,
yeah, Reds bats, they had really heated up to start the season, then in the last two series games against the Diamondbacks got cooled off, and then last game against Johnny Cueto, they did get shut out on Wednesday, so they end up taking two, or actually losing 2-3 to San Francisco, so now down to 7-5. Reds pretty solid against lefties. They've gotten the whooping sticks a little bit. Now they're back at Great American Ballpark. So you're seeing this juice to the over at some spots. Right here at the South Point, it's -120, juice to the over of 9. That'd be the way I would lean. I think the price is about fair, though, between Hoffman and Allen.
All right, let's go to a matchup that does have some intrigue because both of these teams are off to interesting starts to the year. San Francisco Giants taking on the Miami Marlins. Dave Sclafani taking on one, Daniel Castano. Opening number, saw San Francisco about $1.34 favorite. Really haven't moved off of that. $1.35, the prices that are still out there. Total on this one, 8.5. Shaded to the over at -115. Still sitting at 8.5. So we have not seen a ton in terms of movement on this game. Dave Sclafani off to a really good start. Arguments to be made that there is some regression coming, but not massive regression. You know, we talk about this all the time. Early numbers, there is a lot of noise there. But ERA of 0.82, xFIP around 3.46. So I always make this joke. You go from a Hall of Fame worthy dear God type of pitcher to a really good pitcher. So it's not like the regression to the mean at this point, if it comes for Dave Sclafani, would be something drastic. Giants favored, I think, rightfully so. The thing is the price a little too high?
Right. Yeah, it probably is based on the first two performances. But Dave Sclafani, rough year in Cincinnati, hoping for a new start in San Francisco, and so far so good. 0.82 ERA, 127 on the whip, and just 11 innings pitched in the two starts. XFIP still pretty solid at 346, but there is going to be regression. I don't think he is going to post these kind of numbers. He's not that type of pitcher, but I don't know how much it's going to be. And necessarily against Miami, Daniel Castano making his first start of the season. Mm-hmm. So price looks about right. Small lean to the under here for me at 8. I think that's starting to see a little bit of money. You're starting to see some 115s out there, but it's basically 8 minus a 110 juice to the under.
All right. And then we get to the Pirates and the Brewers. A couple more matchups to get through in the National League before we get to the big one. Really quickly, as we look at this, JT Brubeck versus Adrian Hauser. Hauser right now about $1.35 favorite. Brewers at home against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Opener of about $1.56. So we do see the Pirates getting some action here.
Yeah, we certainly did see him. Christian Yelich, of course, not back in the lineup yet, dealing with the back injury. That probably at least was part and parcel responsible for that move. But Pirates offense, very much hit and miss this year, and it's been a lot more miss than it has been a hit. You've seen this undergo, though, go down to 8. I think you've got some regression for both pitchers. Both pitchers right now with ERAs under 2, but their XFIPs are in the mid-4s. So just on the basis of that, even though no Yelich in the lineup for the Milwaukee Brewers, would lean to the over here. I think, not surprising that the initial move at least was to the under, but I'd go over here. I think at over 8, there's a little bit of value on regression with both these guys.
We're going to get to, obviously, the headliner here tonight is the Los Angeles Dodgers taking on the San Diego Padres. First time these two teams will meet here this year. Walker Buehler gets the start for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Ryan Weathers on the other side. Arguably, as a lot of discussions are, right, the two best teams in baseball potentially, and yet the two best teams in baseball, Wes, the Dodgers are favored on the road by about $1.50, at least on the opening, when we first saw it with a total of 8, and that was a pick. Buehler, of course, off to a really dynamic start, gave up 2 earnings against Colorado over 6 innings, bounced back, shut out the Nationals through 6 innings, only scattered 6 hits, struck out 4. The strikeouts aren't really there for him quite yet, but this is still a very solid outing for Walker Buehler at this point, leaving a lot of guys on base. What's your assessment here between these two?
Yeah, you look at Buehler, there was the concern, I think, in spring training, and rightfully so, that the velocity has gone down on his fastball, on his four-seamer, and also his sinker, which they really have. But you look at the numbers, quality outing in both starts, 1-0, 150 ERA, 0.83 on the whip. The FIP is at 288, which I think is very good by those standards. It's kind of like when you're looking at that XFIP ERA difference. If a guy's XFIP is still 3 or under fielding independent pitching, there's not much regression that can really happen. But the hard hit percentage is up this year to 51.4%. So, looking to see if there's going to be some drop-off with Walker Buehler, because he has been very good against the Padres. They haven't been able to hit him really over the years, but I'm a little surprised to see him starting off so well, considering his velocity is down really on both his main pitches. Weathers was on the postseason roster for the Pods last year, didn't see any action. So first start for the season. Dodgers leading Major League Baseball in virtually every single offensive statistic, so that's why you're seeing that. And by the way, Weathers in relief this season, 3 walks per 9 innings this season, so he's had 6 innings of relief work, so that's why I think you're seeing the Dodgers at this price.
And put the numbers to it, too, by the way. We're talking about with Buehler. Our fastball velocity last year, 96.9. So far this year, early, 95.1. So a little bit of regression there on the velo, yes, like you're talking about. All right, that does it for my guys in the desert. Thank you for a very good week. It is Friday, so Wes, thanks for the help. Vinny, as always, thank you too. Matt Humans will be back on Monday here on My Guys. Until then, coming up next, you got Rush Hour to take care of you. There's primetime action, plenty of good weekend programming as well. VSiN, your spot every single day for all you sports bettors out there. Until then, enjoy the program and see you next time here on My Guys in the Desert.